Walking by faith. And in order to walk by faith, truly walk by faith, you have to leave the realm of the senses. You have to leave that realm. You have to walk by God's word, because God's word, when proclaimed, causes faith to come. It causes faith to come, because faith comes by
hearing.
So I'm going to read to you from the Amplified. That's what I pulled out for this. It gives a little more information. So just close your eyes and listen. I'm doing Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, says the title deed or the confirmation of things hoped for that are divinely guaranteed. And it's the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Now, it takes a little while to absorb that, because there's a lot of information in it, and it has to get from here into here. And that's a supernatural process that I'm not sure any of us really comprehends, but God does. And that's all that matters. God comprehends, and God has said, this is how it works. Now, we turn the light switch on, the light comes on. I don't have a clue about electricity. I don't know anything about plumbing. But when you flush, it flushes. I don't have to know. Someone else has to, the plumber, the electrician. God knows how faith works, and He has set out for us what you will hear today is the closest thing that you will ever get to of a formula. It's not a formula, but of a formula that with clarity on how to increase your faith. And the main scripture I'm using is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, which again I'm going to read from the Amplified. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. That's a remarkable, remarkable word. Remember that faith is the substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. And seen here, it's interesting how it talks about seen and not seen. It's really talking about things that are captured by the senses and things that can't be captured by the senses. In Hebrews 11, it says we're looking at things that are not seen. Actually, that's in 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look at things that are not seen. And in the natural, it doesn't make any sense. But we could rephrase it and say, we do not look at the things that are perceived by the senses. We don't look at the things that are perceived by the senses. But rather, we look at the things that are not perceived by the senses. Not perceived by the senses. Because the things which are perceived by the senses are temporary and subject to change. But the things which are not perceived by the senses are eternal or everlasting and not subject to change. Now you've got to listen to that a few times, because as it soaks in, other things start to come together, and you realize in Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, your word, O Lord, is eternal. So it's talking here about when it says the things that are not perceived by the senses are eternal. It's talking about the Word of God. So we're talking seen things versus unseen things. seen things, and I'm going to get more into that in a minute, but it's things that are perceived by the senses versus things that are not perceived by the senses. So we could say, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I want this to get in so clearly. We do not look at or focus on the things which are perceived by the senses. Now they have to exist because if they're perceived by our senses, they exist. We see them, we can touch them, we can see them. And the thing to understand is that faith doesn't deny their existence. Faith does not deny cancer, heart attacks, poverty, grief, sorrow. It's just that faith doesn't focus on it. Faith does not focus on that. Faith takes a stand and simply denies its right to control and dictate your future. See, sometimes people think that people who walk by faith, and some do, by the way, go around denying the existence of their sickness, pain, whatever it is, and think that's walking by faith, but it's not. It's not. And that's why it's saying, while we do not look at the things which are seen, we don't look at them, we look at the things that are not seen. So what is it that is not seen? What's not seen? Any ideas?
The spiritual realm is not seen.
That's very true. It's not. If I am not to focus on the things that are seen, and I'm to focus on the things that are not seen, what's he telling me to focus? Well, for example, and again, I'm reading from the Amplified, I'm to focus on 1 Peter 2:24. He personally, Jesus, carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin and become immune from the penalty and power of sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. Have been healed. See, that's not seen. That's not seen. The sickness is seen, but the cure is not perceived. When I say seen, I mean perceived by your senses. I focus on Philippians 4:19. My God, will liberally supply, that is, fill until full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what's not seen. You see the bills and the difficulties, but you don't see the eternal answer, his word. And God says that he watches over his word to see that it is fulfilled. Does he? Does he say that? Where? Where does he say that? See, if you don't know where it is, how can you be convinced? How can I, or anyone, convince you if you don't know that it's there? I watch, you have judged rightly, for I am watching over my word to see that it is fulfilled.
Jeremiah.
1:12. That's where it is. Jeremiah 1:12. And see, that's a scripture to soak in. It's a scripture to soak in. Because you have to come to the place of believing that either God is telling us the truth or he's not. See, I'm betting my life on him. I'm betting my life on Jesus. Trusting is a better word, probably. But the reality is, you either believe him or you don't. And that's not just to go to heaven. That's in everyday circumstances. For a lot of people, fear. Fear. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of all kinds of things. And we focus on 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and sound judgment. and personal discipline abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. That's good scripture. Anyone think of another one like that? Isaiah 26, verse 3, what does it say?
You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you, trust in you.
Because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace. Perfect peace. The person who sets their mind on you. Because they trust in you. Because they trust in you. See, there is a component of supernatural power in that word. The thing is to get that supernatural power to go from here and become real in here. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are? So where do they go to bring life? To your spirit. They go to your spirit. Not just the intellect. The Pharisees had all kinds of intellectual knowledge about Jesus. All kinds. But they didn't know God. They couldn't recognize him. Because their hearts were not open. Even his disciples missed it over and over again. It's not hard for us to miss it either. You don't have to be anti-God to miss it. You just have to have your mind closed. Or not be seeking. And it just passed right by. And these are men that walked and lived with Jesus every day. And the Bible says very clearly, they could not understand because their hearts were hardened. Amazing. To be with, we would imagine that if we were with Jesus, that wouldn't happen to us. But it could easily happen to us. You see that while I look at and I focus and I confess with my mouth the Word of God, while I'm looking at and focusing at the things that are not seen by my senses, while I am confessing that my God is my healer, or my deliverer, or my peace, my joy, whatever it is that I'm speaking, my confession of God's word is causing my faith to generate God's power.
Hallelujah.
To such an extent that it overcomes the thing in the natural which is opposing me and it wipes it out. That's what happens. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. It works. It works. I see, we don't deny the sickness. We deny its right to stay in our body.
Amen.
We deny its right to dictate our future. But it takes time to get to that place. I deny poverty the right to dictate my future. See, God's word is not telling us to deny what our senses are showing. He's not telling us to do that. What he's telling us to do is to focus or look at the things which are not seen or perceived by the senses, which are his promises, his word. The things that God that has provided for you and I. So how do we look at something that's not seen? How do we look at it? Something that is not seen. There's only one way. You have to look at it with the eye of faith. You have to look at it with the eye of faith. You have to look at it with the eye of faith. That's the only way you're going to see into the spirit realm. Why is that? Because faith is the substance. Faith is the proof. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the end result of knowing and soaking and believing and confessing God's word. Knowing, soaking, believing, and confessing God's word. That takes time, doesn't it? By whose stripes you were healed. by whose stripes you were healed. That's knowing. Once we know, we have to soak. 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 How do I soak in it? How do I soak in it? Any thoughts? How do I soak in it? What does it mean to soak in this word? By his stripes I was healed.
You have to read it and go through your mind over and over again.
Okay, I heard that. You have to read it and what?
Let that go through your mind over and over again.
Okay.
You have to confess it every day.
Confess it?
Depending on whatever the situation is or where you are.
Okay, that's absolutely a part of it. There's something more in soaking, though. There's a key element of soaking.
Declaration.
That's part of confessing.
Asking God for revelation.
That's part of it.
Thanking Him ahead of time.
Yeah. If you're soaking in the bath, what are you doing?
Absorbing.
Say it again.
Absorbing.
You're absorbing. You're absorbing the effects of the water. And if you put stuff in it, you're absorbing that as well. When you're soaking in something, you open your mind to it. You open your spirit to it. You're allowing the essence of that verse to become a part of you. Literally, become a part of you.
Amen.
It includes confessing and includes all the other things, but soaking is a key element in itself. You just let that truth keep penetrating, keep penetrating, keep penetrating until it becomes you.
Amen.
You keep soaking in a thought over and over again and over. You don't get anxious about it. You're not trying to make it. You're not saying, I believe. You're not doing that. That's not soaking. Soaking is just absorbing the truth of that sentence. You're not rushing it. You're not fighting with it. Just let it just keep soaking inside. No resistance to it. I open my mind and my spirit to this truth, Lord, that He Himself bore every infirmity and carried away every disease. That God watches over His word to see that it's fulfilled. I soak in that. It could take days, sometimes weeks, but you're not rushed. You're not rushed. There's no anxiety in soaking. No anxiety. If you're starting to feel anxious, you're not soaking. You've got to just allow it. Allow it to become a part of you. Just as in when you're soaking in the bathtub, you know, you're not frantically trying to get the water on you. It's already there. When you're soaking in the Word, you're just letting that truth become a part. Now, you can pray over it. Part of soaking is praying and saying to God, please open the eyes of my understanding, Lord, that the truth, the essence, the spiritual nutrients of this passage would get into me. That it would become a part of me. I'm soaking in it. You see, because if we obey the word, and in this case we're not healed, then God is a liar. And God can't lie. We know that to be a truth. The sad part is that many, many Christians confess what they feel. They confess what they see. But the Bible tells us that it's impossible for God to lie. But it also tells us that we walk by sight. We walk by faith. Not by sight. We could say, we walk by the word and not by our senses. Doesn't that put it into perspective? We walk by the word and not by the circumstances. See, it's important to understand we have an enemy here. A real enemy. a real enemy. In fact, Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world in John chapter 14, verse 30. He said, here comes the ruler of this world, but he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. Paul called Satan the god of this world. So what does that mean? Well, that means that Satan is the god of the sense realm. He's the god of the sense realm. And if you live in the sense realm, he's going to influence you. And that's why he wants us to become preoccupied with how we feel, what we see, what we think about, all the things that are feeling. He wants us to get bogged down in that. But God wants you and I to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Because God is the God of the spirit realm. And you see, if we walk in the spirit, we're not going to be under the control of the enemy. He's not our God. You and I have been transferred into the kingdom of God's Son. But to the degree that he can pull us back into the sense realm, how we feel, what we think about, you know, the things that we see, then he's got us. He's got us. But you have got to let the Word of God soak. Just soak in your spirit. Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and life more abundantly. Well, either that's true or it's not true. But if it's true, then we have to reach into that. We have to reach into that and believe God. But to access the power of God's Word, that Word has to be turned into faith. That promise has to be turned into faith. And in order for it to be turned into faith, it takes effort. It takes effort. And soaking is part of it. First is knowing. We have to know what the Word of God says. If you don't know, how can you tell whether God will help you or not? So you have to know. And then you have to soak in what you know. Soak in it. Soak in it. Absorb it. Let it become part of who you are. Let it become who you are. You know, we learn to be spiritual. We have to learn to be spiritual. And we do that by spending quality time with the Lord. Doing things that are going to draw us into his presence. Even when we don't feel like it. Like, you know, when you get up every morning, do you feel like going to work? Do you? So why do you go? Do you say, I don't feel like it, so I'm going to stay home? No. We don't typically do that. Why not?
You want a paycheck.
You want a paycheck, yeah. You don't want to get fired. Well, there's sometimes when we don't feel like reading our Bible, worshiping, and so forth. We don't feel like it. But we have to rise above our feelings, just as we have to do when we're working. We rise above our feelings and begin to say, I worship you, Jesus. Worship and bless your name. I thank God for his mercy. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over my life. I begin to say that 4, 5, a dozen times. And you know what happens? Change. Things start to change in my spirit. They start to change. So I'm soaking, and that soaking will turn into a believing as I'm confessing. You know? Like this soaking turns into believing. I'm believing that God is. I'm believing that God is. I'm believing. But my focus has to stay rightly and properly on the Word of God. Because we can get easily distracted. Very easily. And understand that we really do have an enemy. While we live here, we have an enemy. And he's after you. If he can take you to hell, that would be a great victory for him. But even if he can't do that, if he can keep you from experiencing the things that God has so graciously provided for you. And he has. God's provided a lot of stuff for you and me. But he has dictated the way we are to access it. Very simple. God loves you and cares about you, and He'll help you. That's the wonderful thing about God, is that no matter how much you've screwed up, and many of us have, God is still merciful, still gracious, still kind, and still willing to begin anew and help us, to help us. God is all the things He said He is. Only believe, and the word to get to only believe, the way to get to only believe is to know, soak, believe, confess. Keep your focus off the sense realm and on the Word of God. Off the sense realm. And that's a learning process. We learn to do that. It's not an easy thing where we just do it. We have to retrain our thinking. Retrain and say, it doesn't matter what I see. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And in time, that will become true for you. In time. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope that blessed you. It blessed me. I thank God for it. Any questions? Fire away.
Do the confessing through all the, like, when we get to know, we start confessing, we soaking, we still confess, believing, we still confess. Do we keep confessing through each of those?
Well, it's a way, it becomes a way of life. It becomes a way of life in that I don't have to get up every morning and go, okay, I got 96 scriptures here I got to confess. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm seeing it just as a way of life that as I'm reading the Word, I just thank You, Lord. I thank God. I thank You, Lord, that You took my infirmities. You took away all my sicknesses, that You are my... I just thank God that He is. I thank You, Lord. I tell Him that pretty regularly. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. I thank You, Lord, that You hear what I'm saying. And that You will do the things that You hear me saying. So it is, it's a relationship. You know that it's not, you know, here I am, okay, I got to confess this one, okay, now I got to confess this one, I got my list here, okay, I've done pages 3, I've got 4 and 5. That's not a relationship. What I'm talking about is in the form of relationship, that as I speak to God, I am confessing at the same time who He is to me and what He means to me. Answer.
Well, I think what I'm asking is, do we wait to confess to get as we like?
Oh, and the soaking and so forth.
Yeah.
No, those are four elements that work together. Okay. You know, you can rearrange them if you wish, but I'm saying first we have to know, and as we're soaking, we can be confessing. We can confess as we soak, that's part of it. But it's not the focus of it. In other words, as we're soaking in the Word of God, I don't want you to get filled with anxiety, you know, and say, oh God, I haven't said it 20, I only said it 26 times now. You know, that's not soaking. That's not soaking. It has to be something that is coming naturally, you know, that I am experiencing this relationship with God naturally. And this truth that I'm soaking in, it's just soaking in me. I'm not, you know, I don't have a deadline at 4 o'clock. I got to have it down here. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Yep.
You said that we don't deny the circumstances.
Yep.
If someone's told they have cancer, do they say, I have cancer?
Well, interesting question.
They have to be diagnosed with cancer without saying they actually own cancer.
Yes. I frequently will say to someone, for example, how are the allergies today? Not your allergies, the allergies. So when you have been diagnosed with cancer, my approach to that would be, if someone asked me, I said, yes, I have been diagnosed with that, but I am actively resisting and cursing it, getting it out of my body, that it's, I deny its right to remain there. It can't stay there because He took the cancer. You see, so that's my justification for getting rid of it. But I don't think that saying to someone, no, there's no cancer, it doesn't exist. That's not going to help. It's just going to make us look stupid.
So you can just say, I have cancer, but I don't hope. I've been told I have cancer, but I don't receive that.
Yeah, or it's not staying in me. Yeah, it's not staying in me. God's healing power is driving it out. Or can drive it out, depending on what you do about it. Any other thoughts? Ideas? Was it useful?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you that you are a kind and remarkably gracious person. Father, help us to draw closer to you. Help us, Lord, to do whatever is necessary to help us to know your heart. To just really know your heart. Because I believe that as we get to know the heart of God intimately, that we'll be able to grasp so much easier. God doesn't want you to be sick. Any more than a parent wants their child to have cancer, God doesn't want you to have cancer. Because God loves you. God loves you. And as we can understand that, it makes it easier to believe him, to trust him, to know that God is always faithful to us. No matter what we're dealing with, God is always faithful to us. So we want to bless you this morning, Lord. We want to bless you and thank you for your kindness. And just tell God, Lord, I just bless you. I say the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Good to all. See, the more we speak it, God says, whatever I hear you say, and I'm going to get you with, Whatever I hear you say, if I hear you confess me as your peace, your joy, your mercy, your provider. Now, please understand, the overriding thing here is, I can't be living any way I want to. You all understand that, right? You can't live a life of sin and just bitterness and hatred and still think God's promises are going to fall all over you. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect either, though. See, the thing is, you have to be walking with God, subject to his correction, listening and believing him, trusting him, and letting him mold us. Knowing that he loves you. Anything God tells you to do, it's for your betterment. Amen? Amen. God bless you.